Shvias Perk Dalid Mishnah Beis 4:2. Sada Shnis Kavtsa Tizra B'motzi Shvias. If one illegally collected the thorns that had been detached from the ground to clear away from his field so he could plant better come Motzi Shvias in the eighth year, that would be against the rules. One may not do that, but if he did, we do not penalize him, and he still, despite the fact that he removed the detached thorns from the field in the seventh year, contributing to the halacha, he still is allowed to plant in the eighth year. The word niskavtsa from the word kotz, a kotz is a thorn, so niskavtsa, he dethorned his field. That's where there is no kanas, no penalty. However, shinitavia, if he plowed the field well, shinidaira, or he penned up the animals in a way that they make manure in the normal way, as opposed to how it was stipulated in the previous parak about how we have to section them off and, you know, the rules that applied over there. So these two violations of the lachas of Shemitah, excessive plowing, as I'll explain in a second, and letting the animals do their business to fertilize the field, are both prohibitions that incur a penalty, lo sizra b'motzi shvias. Even in the eighth year, said the rabbis, one who violated these halachas and plowed illegally, or who penned up the animals to fertilize the land illegally, is penalized and may not plant that field even in the eighth year. Now, as far as the netavia goes, what we're talking about here is plowing very well, meaning plowing twice. So the context of the Mishnah is that at some time during the Roman occupation of Israel, during the Mishnah period, so the Romans imposed like a land tax, and all land had to produce a fixed amount of wheat to provide as like a tax to the government. So if the Jews would not plant any wheat in the Shemitah year, they wouldn't have any wheat at all, and they couldn't meet the tax requirements, and that could have dire consequences, and it was sakanas defasha, so it was a risk to their lives. And that being the case, the rabbis were lenient and said, listen, since it's a risk to life, we have no choice but to permit people to work their fields in the Shemitah year to the extent that they'll be able to generate the grain to meet the tax requirements. But more than that, Jews are not allowed to do. And that being the case, if a person plowed his field not once but twice, since a single plowing would be sufficient to get enough grain to meet the tax requirements, a second plowing of the field would be a total violation of an unjustified violation of Shemitah. And therefore, if a person did that, we'd have the penalty of not being allowed to use the field in the eighth year. The Mishnah now discusses a new point. I'm going to speak it out before I read it inside. The point is, what happens if one plows a field for the benefit of the trees in that field? Meaning, one can't plow, but the plowing here doesn't directly, only indirectly impacts the fruits growing on the trees. Now, the fruits might be bigger and better. Now, the fruits were anyways permissible to eat on Shvias because Shemitah produce, planting is forbidden, but whatever grows naturally is permitted. And trees that grow by themselves and they, you know, last from year to year don't even fall under the prohibition of the Isr Svichin, the prohibition against, the later prohibition, let's say, against eating produce that grew naturally that would have to be planted year after year. They made that Isr Svichin to stop people from cheating the system and breaking Shemitah, but it's not applicable to fruit on trees. So the question is, what happens if one plows around his fruit trees, giving some benefit to the fruit, you know, the apples growing on the tree? Does that now make the apples restricted that one could not eat them on Shvias? To Machlokas, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, the Machlokas actually is really based on the understanding of the Pasuk. The verse that talks about permitted foods on the Shemitah year is a little ambiguous. It says, this is, I'm reading now from Vayikra Chaf Hei, Pasuk Vav, it's Vayikra 25:6. It says, V'haisa Shabbos Ha'aretz Lachem, La'achla. The Shabbos Ha'aretz, the rested land's produce, shall be for you to eat, L'chol Abdecha, for you and your servants, etc. But it's just hard to translate, and the meaning is ambiguous. The question is, does it have to be produce that had no benefit because it rested, or does it mean produce on land that wasn't worked? So we have machlokas here, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, based on the meaning of that verse. If the prohibition is any land that was worked becomes forbidden to have even the fruits on the trees to be eaten, so then the fruits of the trees would become not allowable to be eaten on the Shemitah year. And that's Beis Shammai Shita, as the Mishnah says, Sadeh Shinistaiva. If you have a field that was plowed, the apple tree on the field, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Ochlin Peroseh B'Shvias, those apples now cannot be eaten on the Shemitah year, since it's not Shavas, it didn't have a rest. However, Beis Hillel Omrim Ochlin. Beis Hillel say no, one can't work the fields, but the fruit that grows naturally, even on a field that was plowed, is still edible. And we'll learn this simply that we're referring to trees, fruits, since trees were never included in the Isser Sfichin. There are those who understand that what the case of the Mishnah is, if you ask the question, how could Beis Hillel permit food that grew on Shemitah year? Because of the Isser Sfichin, the prohibition against eating plants grow naturally. So the answer could be that this Mishnah is predating that Gezerah of the Isser Sfichin. Either way, that's the Mishnah's case. The Mishnah continues by saying, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Ochlin Peiro Shvias Betova. When, in any case, when you go to someone's field, you're allowed to take the fruit and the vegetable, whatever's growing there naturally, in the Shemitah year, to the extent it's permitted to be taken, you can take it, and it's hefker. The question is, are you allowed to even say thank you to the owner of the field? Let's say you walk into the neighbor and you pick a nice apple off his tree, you want to take it home and eat it. Can you say thank you for the apple to the neighbor? So, Beis Shammai says, no, you may not. Ein ochlin peiros shvias betova. You may not even say thank you when you eat the apple in the Shemitah year. The reason why is because it would suggest that the owner of this apple is the landowner. And that's just not true. Hashem was rendered ownerless. He was mafkir, all the produce, and therefore you don't say thank you to this person. And by saying thank you to him, it suggests that it actually is not ownerless and hefker. Beis Hillel omrim ochlin betova v'shelo betova. Beis Hillel say it doesn't make a big difference. You can say thank you and not say thank you. It doesn't undermine the fact that everyone knows that the produce is Shemitah produce and is ownerless. And saying thank you is, you know, either not meaningful or suggests, you know, he did other things besides the, you know, he planted the tree, etc. That's the Tanakhama's version of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai's argument. And Rabbi Yehuda omer chilaf hadavarm. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, switch around the names, meaning according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not Beis Shammai, but rather Beis Hillel, who is strict and said, you may not say thank you. And Beis Shammai is lenient and says it doesn't matter whether or not you say thank you. Chilaf hadavarm, switch the words around, says Rabbi Yehuda, and zu mekulei Beis Shammai u'mechumri Beis Hillel. This is one of the rare cases, says Rabbi Yehuda, where Beis Hillel is the strict one and forbids saying thank you, whereas Beis Shammai is the lenient one and says it doesn't matter if you say thank you or otherwise. The general rule, of course, is that the halacha always follows Beis Hillel, and most of the time, almost all the time, Beis Hillel is a more lenient opinion. But there are certain cases where Beis Hillel is actually the more strict approach, and you can look in Masechet Edius where we have that listed out. So there's a general principle that those rare cases where Beis Hillel is the strict one is enumerated, and here the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda is saying that this is indeed belongs on that list of cases where Beis Hillel is the strict one. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, the halacha is like the Tanakhama, like Beis Hillel, meaning one can be lenient and say thank you or not say thank you for the fruit, and it doesn't matter, it's still permitted to be eaten.